What's up, guys? It's Gray Haas, and you have no idea how much it helps us when people like Gary, Amanda A., David A.S., and someone called Big Easy Blasphemy, great handle, by the way, join the Patreon. Our goal is to try to get to 500 supporters over there, which frees us up to do more things like live shows, live streams, and bonus content. You can even do a free trial. So please, please help us reach our goal of 500 supporters. For the price of a cup of coffee per month, you can help Mega keep going. Head to patreon.com/megathepodcast or check the link in the show notes. And thanks. Hey friends, you've probably heard me mention ButcherBox on here before, but if you haven't tried it, I gotta wonder, maybe you just hate deals? ButcherBox is high-quality meat and seafood you can trust, delivered right to your doorstep. It takes the guesswork out of shopping, and it is a godsend when it comes to saving me money and time. And here's the thing. If you're going to be cooking meat or seafood, just give it a try for a month and see if you like it. It feels decadent to have a freezer stocked with your favorite ingredients, and truly, who else is offering you free protein for a year? That's manna from heaven. What even is manna, by the way? Anyway, today, ButcherBox is giving Mega listeners free ground beef for the life of your membership, plus an additional $20 off your first order. Use my link, butcherbox.com/mega, and use code MEGA to get free ground beef for life, plus $20 off your first box. That's butcherbox.com/mega, and use the code MEGA.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Mega is an improvised satire from the staff of a fictional megachurch.
We are here, Lord, we are here, and we're ready to podcast.
Hiya, I'm Hallie Labonte, and this is Mega, coming to you from Twin Hills Community Church, where every single week we're making our mega church have a tiny family feel. I think it's a treat and a treasure. And per usual, I'm joined by my co-host. He's the youth pastor for our high school ministry called Climax. Please welcome Gray Haas.
My litmost for his highest, Hallie. How are you?
I am blessed, my brother. How are you doing? What's happening with you and your kids who come to Climax?
Well, it was a tough week because I lost one of my kids, actually.
What? A teen died?
No, Hallie. He just came out as a secular humanist. And
oh.
I mean, basically, it is the same thing as
yeah,
dying.
Yeah, that's terrible.
And I don't like to name names, but of course, it was this kid, Cormac McCartney. And he had just been really quiet, you know, for the last several years. Hadn't said much of anything. And then came up to me after Climax the other day, said, I'm not coming back. I'm a secular humanist and agnostic about all of this stuff. And, you know, honestly, his attitude was kind of bad. He's kind of one of those, what do you call it? Like always keeps to himself, doesn't really go out, doesn't ever talk to anybody.
Agoraphobic?
No. Maybe like incel or something. I'm not sure. But, you know, got to look on the bright side. You can't win them all, Hallie, and he will know the truth someday. So, how are you?
What the heck does humanist even mean? And I sincerely ask that. What does humanist mean?
Well,
what does that word even mean?
You're basically putting all your eggs in the human basket. And
oh,
I think
foolish.
What we can all remember and what I told him to his face is I said, well, you know, Jesus was 100% human and 100% God. And he said, how can you be 200% of anything? And I said, I'm just not going to argue with you, Cormac. And I actually did tell him, I said, I actually said, don't come back until you're right with God. And seems like
get right.
Yeah.
And I mean, these kids will, they'll make up these words like humanist, and they'll make up anything. They'll say, don't call me he, she, call me zer or whatnot. And I say, these aren't real words. Like, it's not my brother, it's my sibling. It's not my nephew, it's my nibbling. It's not my mother, it's my pibbling. You know what I mean? You're just making stuff up, and you can't hold people accountable to words they've never even heard of.
Well, and Hallie, it's not my problem. So I'm not going to even waste another minute on that kid.
Well, you know what? Let's turn to something more positive, which is how excited I am for today's episode, because it's a special edition mailbag episode.
We haven't done one of these in so long. I'm so excited to hear from some of our listeners who need our great advice.
It's been so long since we've done one of these. The last time we did one, I was a double G, with my up top. I had to get a breast reduction.
What?
The alphabet started with D on me, and I'm like a different person now.
Well, let's get into the letters, shall we?
We have letters about sports. We have letters about purity. We have letters about the holidays. It's all coming at you, and it's coming at you hot, and we're going to have a good time going over your letters. Thanks for sending them in. This first one, who's it from? Well, it just says Sinless in Seattle.
Oh, okay.
That's how it's signed.
Well, it's hard to be sinless in Seattle. I mean,
yeah, so
any of these coastal elite cities, you've got to be careful.
So yeah, I'm already praying for this one. And okay, I'll just start reading it, and then we'll maybe help discuss or give advice, answer questions as we go. What do you think?
Sounds great.
Okay. Brothers and sisters in Christ, I recently discovered this podcast, and I believe God has guided me to it because I've had difficulty with something serious for the past year. Hopefully you can be a vessel through which Christ will guide me. All right.
I love that.
Sign me up. I have a son named Caleb who is 9 years old. At the time he was born in the womb, I thought that was a good name, but now I regret the choice because I believe it left him vulnerable to the evil one. We all know what happened to Caleb in Numbers, right? Wait, what did happen to Caleb in Numbers? It was Caleb and Joshua. Caleb was one of the spies.
I mean, yeah, he remained loyal to God.
Yeah, he got to go into the promised land. He was considered a hero.
That's right.
What happened to Caleb? Well, Sinless in Seattle is suggesting something bad happened. What happened to Caleb? Do you think maybe, I mean, he wasn't beheaded?
Honestly,
turned into a pillar of salt?
Is it Caleb with a K, Hallie? Because then I'm worried that it's a different Caleb that she's talking about. And, you know, whenever somebody replaces a C with a K in a name, especially at the first of the name, you kind of get a bit trashy, I think.
That's why I don't get on TikTok.
Yeah. Anyway, go on.
Caleb has a friend the same age as him. For the purposes of this letter, I'll call him Evan.
Because that was his name?
Because like Eve, he is tempting my son to be ungodly. Ugh, it grieves the heart of God. And also, I wouldn't be surprised. Anyone named Evan, that is pretty close to the name Eve. And, you know, there aren't a lot of people named Eve because...
I mean, for good reason.
Yeah, she destroyed everything for everyone for all time.
Evan Rachel should stay away from your son.
Cursed us with sin. Okay, so where was I? Evan is a figure skater, and he's been pressuring my son to skate too.
Oh,
oh
no.
I don't like where this is going. Evan is a little boy, right?
As far as we know, Hallie, but there are Evan girls, and I often get concerned.
Oh my gosh.
This is something that we should think about too, is when we start degendering names, I'm already going, hey, should we name boys and girls Evan? You know, because Evan is a boy's name.
That's right.
As soon as you start, I mean, of course you're going to grow up confused if you have one of those names that everybody's turning into both a boy and a girl's name.
Right. And you don't name your kid after an evil person. Like, you've never met someone named Cain or Eve or Hitler or Barack. You know what I mean?
I did actually know. I had a cousin named Hitler.
Is that right?
Yeah, spelled differently, but
is that a popular name over in Australia?
No, it just, it had a silent S at the beginning.
Okay. Anyway, Evan is a figure skater, and he's been pressuring my son to skate too. Caleb has been adamant about this, but my husband and I are against it and wouldn't allow it. Many times we had to explain that boy skaters turn into homosexuals and end up with AIDS, but he keeps saying he won't be like that. Of course, just allowing him into the rink, which is a den of demons, would leave him susceptible to those actions. Even those who skate with women are ungodly because, of course, they do things that should only be done with husband and wife in the privacy of their bedroom.
Isn't it true?
I've thought that watching the Olympics, I really like to watch the figure skaters, especially the couples, because the guy can just throw her so far and it looks cool.
You know, but I'm always uncomfortable by it, aren't you, Hallie?
Same.
Because it seems too intimate.
Well, yeah. I mean, a lot of times it looks like he's holding her up like by her pubis bone or you know, whatever it's called.
This is a strange little segue here, but one time I was watching figure skating with one of my uncles who was, you know, he wasn't a Christian at the time. And as we're watching it, he leaned over and he goes, "That's what you can look forward to when you're married."
Oh.
Or he actually didn't say marry because he slept with all manner of women all the time. But he said, you know, that's what you can look forward to. And I was like, that's what it is. That's what it's like.
He slept with all man and woman?
Manna of.
He slept with manna and woman?
Men. He slept. Well, he did sleep with men and women, but he, he slept with all kinds of women. I mean, Hallie, this was on my dad's side.
Wow. Well, I'll go so far as to say, Gray, and you don't know this yet because you're not married, but being a married woman who's also had a lot of kids under the care of a male gynecologist, I can tell you that I've never been touched in the area that a male figure skater is holding a woman up by. And there's no reason to ever touch a woman there. You don't even have to touch there ever.
You
not to procreate, not to give birth, not even if you're a gynecologist obstetrician.
It really is, Hallie. It's just kind of sick to think about. But I can't imagine, you know, I think it's hard because as a guy who's not married, who doesn't, you know, is looking forward to that stuff with my wife, I think it puts in the mind of single godly men like, oh, that's what it's like in the bedroom. Like you gotta hold each other up like that and throw each other around.
Yeah. Which essentially means they've got porno in the Winter Olympics.
Right. Yeah.
Okay. Well, I don't know if my heart can take this one. I don't like where it's going. But I mean, these parents, they're not wrong about these figure skaters, the males or the females, these perverts. The girls shouldn't be that close with a person they're not married to. Now, I have seen some duo skaters who are married to each other, and I think probably cool. But at the same time, I shouldn't be seeing him touch her. Even though she is his wife, I shouldn't be observing it. I wouldn't be in there in their bedroom hiding behind the door watching them.
Right. Yeah, that seems like it should really be reserved for a private moment. You know, although, Hallie, I did hear something the other day that I thought was cool. Have you heard of OnlyFams?
OnlyFams?
OnlyFams.
Fams?
Yeah.
FAMS?
Yeah, it's a Christian website where awesome Christian families can post premium content about what's going on in their homes that normally people don't get to see.
Yeah.
And it is awesome. You can pay $5.99 a month and, you know, you can see like, you know, the husband and wife having dinner and then they'll be like, hey, you know, tonight's our anniversary. We're going in here. They'll close the door and you kind of get the idea of what's going on. But it's just setting a great example of what Christian families, couples are up to.
I think that's so important that Christians model for the world what it's supposed to look like, the natural order of things, the design that God created it from the very beginning.
Absolutely.
You had Adam and Eve, and then they had kids. It was a nuclear family. And then from that, you know, for all time, everyone has always been in a nuclear family, and now it's
until
under
recently,
attack.
It's, yeah.
You had cavemen and women were in a nuclear family,
family
in a cave. And then you had, you know, I don't know, really, a lot of history, but like, and then in the Reformation, you know what you had? Mothers and fathers and nuclear families.
Nuclear family.
And, okay, back to the letter. Finally, my husband, Jacob, that's cool, that's a biblical
awesome
name, decided to let Caleb take a lesson. Oh, no. I submitted as God intends, but I was worried. Well, I think you're a good wife. Now we know it's a woman writing. Okay, now we know. Then Jacob told me that he paid Evan $500 to kiss Caleb at some point while they were there.
Wait, the dad asked them to kiss?
Jacob told me that he paid Evan $500 to kiss Caleb at some point while they were there. He figured this would kill two birds with one stone. Get this
tempter. Oh, it's like smoking a pack of cigarettes.
Yeah, like when he makes you eat the whole... Oh, you like these? Then I'll make you eat the whole pack.
That's a good idea.
So, to kill two birds with one stone. Get this tempter out of our lives for good and get this temptation to be unmanly and ungodly out of Caleb.
I like it.
I get it. This is strategy.
This is good parenting.
This is good parenting. This is something that, like, Dobson, I think people who are not saved, the way they raise their kids is like tactical. They're just like, oh, I don't know. It's almost like triage all the time.
Right.
But Christians are strategic. See, you know, he's
playing three-dimensional chess at this point.
Yeah. He's got $500 cash involved. He's gone to an ATM. I mean, this is thought out. This is good. This is strategy. Okay. So they're going to get the tempter out of their lives, and then any sort of temptation for Caleb to be unmanly or ungodly, we're going to nip that in the bud right now. Okay. Sure enough, Caleb tells us after they had their first lesson that Evan kissed him. And we asked him if he ever wanted to see him again. Caleb said no. Then we asked him if he wanted to skate again. And Caleb said yes. We asked why, with such a horrible experience to go on, did he want to do this? He said he liked the feeling of gliding and dancing on the ice and wanted to be like an American skater that he and Evan saw named Nathan Chen. When I asked him to show me some videos and this...
Oh, sorry, Hallie. I was just sending some email. Oh,
okay. I said, show me some videos. And he showed me this heathen skating to music by known homosexuals like Freddie Mercury and Elton John.
Elton John is a homosexual?
Is that right?
No.
No, he just wears colored sunglasses, I think.
Crocodile Rock?
He has a song about his wife.
Yeah, all the songs are about ladies.
Yeah, Crocodile Rock, Tiny Dancer, Danielle's song.
That's right. I mean,
he mentions having a
your
wife?
Song.
Mm-hmm. Good.
If
lyrics.
I was a sculptor, but then again, no. I love that lyric.
Those
if I was a sculptor,
lyrics.
It's like he's rethinking the song in the moment. Like, you know, if I was this guy or this, you know, then. But you know what? That's actually not a good lyric that I just wrote, and he's not afraid to rewrite it as he goes.
Yeah.
Because then he's like, or a man who makes potions in a traveling show.
Mm.
Isn't that funny how he's like, if I was a sculptor, wait a minute, no, that's not a good idea.
It is.
I'm actually
a
potion maker. I think that's just great.
It is a little bit funny, this feeling inside. I'm not one who can easily hide.
There's no way that Elton John is gay. I just refuse to believe it.
And I don't know about Freddie Mercury.
Never heard of him.
Yeah. Okay, here we go. Naturally, we grounded him for a month and forbade him to go anywhere near the rink. But how much is Evan to blame for introducing Caleb to this forbidden fruit? And what should we do to make sure he stays away from such things in the future? Sincerely, Sinless in Seattle.
It's a good question. I mean, I'm going to hold Caleb about 50% responsible there. Mm-hmm. And I'm also going to hold Evan 50% responsible there. And I'm going to, you know, obviously I'm going to place this all at the feet of Satan for
Definitely.
Being 100% responsible there, giving you another 200%. But you know, Hallie, I guess I just go back, maybe the strategy of paying him to kiss the boy, I mean, you know, the haters are going to be like, well, that's prostitution. You're essentially paying someone to do an intimate act.
Okay.
And to them, I would say, well, what's your great parenting idea? Because these parents are obviously really engaged and really trying the best.
Thank goodness.
And most parents these days, secular parents, they're just letting the kids run wild and do whatever. And, you know, if it was a secular parent, I'm sure these kids would be, you know, dancing around in tutus,
injecting
kissing each other.
Heroin right. in their bodies.
Minus the skates.
Yeah, I feel like Evan is definitely to blame for putting Caleb in this position. But he, you know, he also got $500 for it. So he delivered on his end of the bargain. He kept up his side of the deal.
Right.
With Sinless in Seattle's husband. I'm just, like you said, they're engaged parents, which is more than you can say for most of the secular world. These parents don't even know where their kids are. They were like, oh, good. Are they on a skating rink, having a sense of belonging, hanging out with people with similar interests, gaining skills and feeling a part of a community? And I'm like, no, they're being groomed for sex work.
You know, Hallie, too, and I just think that it is something that we need to tell these parents, hey, sometimes you're gonna make mistakes. You're not gonna be perfect. And what you do is you pray about it. And I think the answers will come. But I also would make sure that you're punishing any future behavior and maybe even punishing some of the past behavior.
Because prohibitive actions, and not to throw around big vocab words, but prohibitive actions tend to work. For instance, prohibition, abstinence, dieting, stuff like that. Highly effective.
Highly effective.
Ah. The comfort of your favorite seat is now your comfy car selling command center, thanks to Carvana.
It doesn't get any better than this.
Your favorite seat's the best spot in the house. Make it even better by entering your license plate or VIN and getting a real offer in minutes.
There really is no place like home.
And speaking of home, Carvana will pick up your car from yours after you finalize your offer. Visit Carvana.com or download the app and sell your car from your comfy place.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
Okay, Hallie, here we go. Are you ready for another letter?
Yeah, you read it this time.
Okay, here we go. Hi, Gray and Hallie. Spell my name wrong, but whatever. Around the holidays, I often find myself invited to the houses of many friends and family.
Oh, I'm so, so happy to hear that. And I love a party. I love a get-together. I love a party. You know what I really like, Gray, is eating other people's food.
Oh, yeah, totally. As long as it's lean.
And I feel like gathering at the holidays is such a beautiful way for us to express our devotion to Christ. You know, you get together under a banner of Christmas and you're making a statement.
This person, I'm sorry, Hallie, I'm just kind of reading forward. He says, I'm very popular and a social butterfly.
Oh, how nice.
Oh, it's such a strange thing to kind of say. I mean, I guess this person has a pretty high opinion of themselves.
Oh, how, yeah.
But
oh.
Doesn't really do their research in like how to spell someone's name either, oh. Which is kind of weird.
Yeah, maybe this person's arrogant.
However, I am incredibly full bothered when I arrive at these gatherings to find the homes full of all the fun parts of Christmas, the trees, the presents, the lights, cookies, etc. But the homes do not have a single nativity.
Oh, it grieves the heart of God.
Honestly, sick.
Yep.
I mean, you would have pictures of your kids hanging up all over, but you don't have a small miniature replica, usually made out of corn cobs or something, of the birth of the Savior of the world. You can't even do that, but
right?
You can put up a bunch of ugly pictures of your daughter's senior photos.
I even have pictures of Jesus in my house.
Oh, really?
Oh, framed 8x10s. I got a 11x14.
I love that.
Pictures of Jesus. He kind of looks like the singer of the Bee Gees. Good looking.
I kind of went, I do have a few photos of Jesus. I went kind of with the big lion theme, you know? So I just did lots of lion stuff.
That's cool. Very C.S. Lewis of you.
Yeah.
That's cool. I feel like Jesus reminds me, Jesus kind of seems to have highlights. Kind of like you, Gray.
These are highlights. These are natural.
Just on the ends? Like it got bleached? Oh. Maybe it just got bleached by the sun and then your roots grew.
I mean, the sun naturally highlights my hair.
Oh, okay. Okay. Cool.
Even in winter. Just kind of my complexion and stuff.
Oh, cool.
Anyway, he goes on and says...
Okay, so he's looking for a nativity. I always do that too, I want to say. When I go into someone's house around the holidays, I'm sorry, around Christmas, It's the first thing I do is look for a nativity. And if I don't see one, it feels like a blow. Honestly, it feels like a painful blow, like being knocked in the solar plexus.
Now, just to play devil's advocate for a moment, okay. Allie, did go into a home last year when Kleinex kids were going around visiting shut-ins.
Oh, awesome.
And there was an old lady, and I don't like to name names, but I think her name was Salman Rushdie. And she actually was the opposite, where she had a nativity in every single room, sometimes multiple of the different styles from different countries or whatever. And then that becomes a bit creepy
because
then you're going, okay, how much is too much? Yeah. I think, you know, what are you trying to say with all this?
Yeah, this isn't a small world after all.
Exactly.
It's not like you're going to have the, you know, Asian nativity and stuff, because you know what? Jesus wasn't born in Asia.
You know what was one of the weirdest things is she had one that I think was from somewhere in Africa, and all of the figurines were made from rare endangered species, you know, elephant tusk and the skins of sort of rare tigers and stuff like that for the animals. Uh-huh. And she was really proud of that and saying, you know, all of these are illegal to have. This is illegal to have this nativity.
Oh, really?
And, you know, I just get a bit weirded out if people are trying too hard. There was really no place to sit down. There was a nativity on every piece of furniture that wasn't covered by a cat.
Wow.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, but for the average American, how hard is it to collect a couple shepherds, wise men, animals, and a manger? How hard is it?
And I think it's best when you just put it at least one in your yard.
Definitely.
So that everybody knows when they come in or drive by, that's a Christian house.
Mm-hmm. We have an inflatable one with lights.
So going
back, it's lit and it's lit.
He says, how can they celebrate Christmas without its true meaning? What should I do? I'd really like to continue to be invited, but these homes really bother me. Well, and this is from someone named Ryan Salad.
Oh, I know Ryan Salad. How you doing, buddy?
Well, here's the thing. If you're going to be invited back, you might not if you don't spell the names right. So make sure you do that. You know, I would also beg the question, do you want to be invited to a home that may or may not have the true meaning of Christmas in the home, even though you say that you're very popular? I kind of doubt that at this point, just because of the nature of the letter and how much you're kind of pumping yourself up and with this holier-than-thou attitude. But I would say Ryan Salad, and with a name like Salad, you know, I'm not sure if anybody's inviting someone with a name like Salad over a lot. But I guess what I would say, Hallie,
makes me hungry.
You know, if you want to go to these homes, maybe bring a nativity.
I was going to say the same thing.
They're pretty inexpensive, mm-hmm. and especially ones that aren't made from rare animals.
Mm-hmm.
And I would also say, ask yourself the question, do you want to go to a house where Jesus is not front and center at the holidays?
You got to ask yourself about the influence that you're going to be under when you're in such a home. Because you know what? You crack their fridge if it's somebody that you know, you're doing life together and you got refrigerator rights with each other, you know? Do you crack the fridge and see a six pack of beer? Do you see a box of wine? Do you, smell smoke on their breath? They could be influencing you in ways that you're not even aware of. The nativity might be the tip off.
Right.
Of whatever else is happening, you know, because the next thing you know, you go in their basement, they're all burning drugs and spoons and injecting it between their toes.
How, what other ways would you spell my name, Hallie? I just don't understand.
G-R-A-Y.
Right. And he spells it G-R-E-Y. I just don't get that. I like, who even thinks of it that way?
Oh, maybe. I think that's how they spell it in Britain.
I just don't, you could basically Google me before you email.
Maybe he's got a touch of the Downton Abbey.
Maybe, yeah. That's the least of his problems.
I like how they say different things over there. They call cookies biscuits. They call pants trousers, you know. They call your bum a fanny.
Yeah.
Ready for the next one?
Yeah, let's do it.
Dear Gray and Hallie. Oh, wow. This one, they spelled your name wrong and my name wrong.
What is, honestly, just do a bit of Googling, people. Thanks for writing, but it's not that hard.
Anyway, dear Gray and Hallie, I'm getting married next Saturday at Twin Hills. Yay!
Oh, congrats.
We are rostered as the third chapel wedding for the day. After years of staying holy for each other. Oh, thank goodness.
Isn't it a relief?
Oh, I'm so glad they're just addressing that right off the top.
Didn't do a single bit of ice skating before the big day. I think that's awesome.
They are modeling what it means to save yourself for the best Christian sex you've ever had in your life. Okay, so after years of staying holy for each other, we both know that our wedding night is going to be amazing. Well, they're not wrong about that.
Really?
It's going to be amazing. It's going to be the most amazing thing you've ever felt in your entire life.
Really? What's it for you, Hallie?
I did not enjoy it. I mostly was confused, challenged, highly emotional, and I think I was facing the wrong way at one point. I didn't know what was happening, but I think for the gal, that's par for the course.
Oh, okay. What way were you facing?
Well, toward the door.
Okay.
Okay, so... our wedding night is going to be amazing. We will remember it for the rest of our lives. Yes, you will. Yeah. Do you remember the first time you went to Disney? Huh? Do you remember the first time you caught a snowflake on your tongue? Do you remember 9/11? I mean, you're gonna...
remember it.
Oh, baby. Okay, back to the letter. At the same time, it also feels strange to know that God will be watching us consummate the marriage and, quote unquote, do the dirty. Oh, Well,
first
yeah.
off, it's not dirty once you're married.
Good point.
I mean, the marriage bed is undefiled.
That's right. And I think God is so relieved and honored by the fact that you saved yourself for him and for it and for each other and for this moment.
Oh, he's just happy to be there. He's happy to be included.
He is probably throwing a party. He's probably telling all the angels, gather round.
Oh, I would imagine that, yeah, it's not just God watching.
It's all of heaven.
It's a watch party.
They say that there's a party every time somebody becomes a Christian.
That's right.
And every time...
somebody enters into the gates of heaven, you are greeted by heavenly hosts. Why would those heavenly hosts not be tuning in to what is going to be one of the biggest nights of your life?
Yeah, and I can understand a little bit of shyness might come into play when you feel like the divine creator of the universe is tuning in for what should and could be considered a very intimate moment. Between you and your spouse. But here's the thing. Having Christian sex with your husband or wife is not like, say, having a bowel movement or emptying your bladder, which is something I feel like God does kind of turn away for.
Oh, really?
Simply because it's just not that interesting to him. You know, my kids have asked me that. I don't want God to be looking at me while I'm on the toilet and stuff. And we've had long talks about it, and I've had to really spend time in prayer about it. It's something I've thought a lot about.
When do you pray about that?
When I'm on the toilet. And I think that there's so much important stuff that God needs to be putting his attention to that, you know, your bathroom breaks are just really none of his beeswax. But I'm sorry, whether you like it or not, it might feel like it's a private thing. But, you know, your wedding night after you've saved yourself, I think it is a big deal in heaven. And I do think they all tune in. It's like the heaven Super Bowl, honestly. They're probably putting up really expensive commercials, you know, when maybe you two lovebirds are, you know, taking a bathroom break. That's when heaven has commercials.
That is right. And when you said you two, I was like, oh, wow. I was just thinking, oh, is you two playing at the Super Bowl?
U2 is Christian adjacent music, I think I would say.
Oh, they're definitely Christian, Hallie. Listen to basically every song they've ever written.
Is that right?
Yeah, except the AIDS ones.
Oh, okay. I don't know. I feel like you should definitely put on some praise and worship, at least some Hillsong, just to get the... Well, you don't know this yet, Greg, because you're not married, but sometimes you kind of got to rev the engines. You got to get in the mood, you know? It doesn't always just strike because you're alone.
But I mean, on that wedding night, Hallie, they are going to be in the mood, believe me. I mean, I've been at weddings where the bride and groom basically had to say, I'm sorry, we're not going to be at the reception for a minute. We got to go upstairs, you know, because that's how Christian they are. And that's how excited they are once those rings are on. It's anything goes, which is awesome.
Whoa, what did their faces look like when they showed up at the reception after that?
Well, that's the thing. It's always the guy is just glowing.
Okay.
And the lady was a bit confused.
Oh, yeah. Well, can attest to that. So the letter ends just, do you have any advice for us? Thanks, Jonathan Runmo. And I do have advice for them. And I'll start with what we're talking about, which is make a playlist. So you're going to want to have some romantic music on. And you know what? There is plenty of very amorous, romantic Christian music. A lot of it is actually about our Eros love, E-R-O-S, the godly sex erotic love.
What song did you put on, or did Lance put on when you all, went into the marriage bed?
Oh, on my wedding night, we played I Wish We'd All Been Ready by Larry Norman on repeat.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, that's kind of ironic. I Wish We'd All Been Ready.
It was a powerful experience.
Right.
It really was.
What a song to play, you know, now. Once you are ready,
I recommend it.
Yeah, I'll add it to my list for one day, but I'm really too busy right now. So,
well, I got you on the top of my prayer list to get. I know God has picked out a beautiful bride for you, but I want you to meet her soon and not somebody who's gonna, lake trout you.
You know, this is something also that I would say to this couple writing in is, start an OnlyFans right now.
Yep.
And you get to share this experience with everyone who's also probably in, you know, your same position of being nervous, you know, how they're preparing for that great night. You could, you know, share that on your OnlyFans and then, you know, monetize it, which I think is really important right now for Christians to do, since, you know, the secular world is basically, you know, making into commodifying every other part of their lives. Why aren't Christians doing it? I think we need to do this.
Yeah, we got to lead the way.
This episode is brought to you by ShipStation. If you run an e-commerce business, you know how much work it takes to produce something great while dealing with complicated shipping issues. That's why over 130,000 companies have turned to ShipStation, an innovative tool that allows you to focus less on shipping and more on building your brand. With ShipStation, you can manage orders, label printing, reporting, and customer service on one easy-to-use dashboard. You'll reduce warehouse costs with reliable enterprise solutions and save thousands on shipping costs with discounts up to 89% off. Plus, you can effortlessly import orders from everywhere you sell online. So, turn your shipping challenges into opportunities for growth. Go to ShipStation.com and use code POD to sign up for your free 60-day trial. That's ShipStation.com, code POD.
This episode is brought to you by Bumble. So, you want to find someone you're compatible with, specifically someone who's ready for a serious connection, totally open to having kids in the future, is a tall, rock-climbing Libra, and loves rom-coms with vegan pizzas on Tuesdays just as much as you do. Bumble knows that you know exactly what's right for you. So whatever it is you're looking for, Bumble's features can help you find it. Date now on Bumble.
One more, Gray?
Yeah, we do. I am pulling up one here. All right. Dear Gray, okay. Spell my name wrong again. Never even seen it spelled that way.
Oh, no.
So I guess if we're going to do a mailbag episode, just the first thing everyone should do is, who am I emailing?
Okay.
And then think about the name that you're writing and then make sure it's spelled correctly. So, Dear Gray, it doesn't have an accent anywhere in it. I just don't understand why you would do that. I recently started attending the Twin Hills Virtual Services. I live in Ohio.
Oh,
that's great. It's a nice plug for virtual services and also kind of a billboard for the education system in Ohio, because apparently they don't teach spelling there. I'm emailing because I have a question. My son, Daughtry, got into an argument with me about the mascot of the local Christian school which he attends.
Oh, I can relate to this.
I mean, yeah, here we go, right, Hallie?
This sounds like something my son Day would be moaning to me about.
I don't have to bring him into it. According to him, we shouldn't be the Crusaders because the Crusades were a series of religious wars led by the church and resulting in a bunch of stuff that I couldn't understand. I think he mentioned genocide as some liberal word about how murder is wrong. So my
Crusades were the church spreading its message far and wide, making disciples of all nations, just because you would rather worship a golden statue or something. You can't be angry when somebody brings in the truth. There's no negative spin you can put on the Crusades. It was about furthering the gospel.
And when you show up with the truth and someone tries to kill you for it, you've got to fight back.
And what's wrong with war? I mean, we're in a holy war right now.
I think war gets a bad rap, honestly, because I think we shouldn't be asking, you know, what is war good or bad? What kind of war is good or bad, right?
Right. And maybe it's just that being a Christian, we're so used to being attacked and every day is a constant battle. There's spiritual battle being waged around us all the time in a spiritual warfare. I mean, it's just the way it is. If even angels have swords and shields and all of that stuff, it stands to reason that mankind is going to too. I mean, it's right there in the name, man. And if you've ever raised a boy, which I have, as soon as they can pick something up, they pick up a stick and turn it into a knife or a gun, and it's just human nature.
And that word you said, Hallie, just human nature, a lot of people say, well, is it just war? And I said, it's just war. You know, it's just war. It's going to be here because we are sinful and there is going to be war on the earth. There was war in the Bible. A lot of my favorite wars are from the Bible.
Yeah, there's a war on drugs, and that's a great war.
Yeah. Yeah. So yeah, what kind of war is it?
That's right.
It's just war.
That's right. And a war that is furthering the gospel, making more Christians, spreading the good news, it's hard to call it war, really, when it's such good news.
Yeah, I would say let's not call it a war. Let's call it a mission. And if it was a mission, would you be so mad? If you were, instead of the Crusaders, would if they were called the missionaries, would you be having a problem with that?
See, that's it right there.
Yeah, missionaries have never done anything.
Like
that is controversial, or that you would be like, you can't have a missionary running around in a fuzzy suit during the halftime of the football game.
That's right, because they're too busy being self-sacrificial.
That's right. I think he mentioned, so back to the letter, I think he mentioned genocide as some liberal word about how murder is wrong. So my question is, should we stop using the word crusade? Because I remember being a part of the Campus Crusade for Christ.
Awesome.
Hey,
so
I
awesome.
Just think Campus Crusade for Christ is so awesome.
Well, you've got Christ right there, and crusade goes well with Christ. They both, it's alliterative. They begin with C.
Oh, a lot of times teens would show up. I remember one of the Campus Crusade leaders telling me they'll show up just because it sounds cool.
Oh, totally.
It kind of sounds like a hip hop lyric or something.
Yeah.
A Campus Crusade for Christ. You know, it's just so great.
Yeah. And crusade, which we've already established, is a good word. You know, just like crucifixion, beautiful word, incredible, awesome, life altering event.
Yep.
They'll try to demonize anything we do. You know why? Because they want to hold on to their golden idols.
Yeah.
You know, it only hurts when the truth smacks you across the face if you don't believe it, you know, or if it has to stab you in the abdomen, or, you know, I don't know how. Did they have guns in the Crusades? Like muskets or something?
Yeah, old-timey ones.
Yeah, so if you get stabbed by a musket in the name of Christ, well, count yourself lucky is all I say.
And the writer finishes, because I remember being a part of Campus Crusade for Christ when I was in school. So I think that we should keep the crusade in Christianity. Go with Christ, crusade, and confused.
I think they're alluding to a well-known fact, which is they've been trying to take the Christ out of Christmas for years. You'll see it in print. It says an X where they X out the word Christ and then they just put MAS, Xmas.
Oh, isn't
you know,
that
just
sick?
Because they're trying. So what do you want to do? Do you want to put an X where the cruise was and it's just X-Aid? You know, are we supposed to say, oh, back in the X-Aids when the Moors were being slaughtered or whatnot?
And it was is now Christ going to be X-ified?
See,
you just can't do it. I'm just so tired of this PC culture. It's just brain rot, isn't it?
I know. You can't change words. You just can't. I mean, the English language is set. I'm sorry.
It's true, Hallie. We have enough words, don't we, in the dictionary? And really the only word, and I'm going to say this to anyone who needs to hear it, the only word you need is the word of God. And Jesus was the word. He is the word, and you're not going to go off and try, the next thing you know, people are going to be like, oh, you can't say Jesus, you know? I'm just not going to do that, because people are going to say that. You can't say Jesus.
All I have to say to that is, word.
What does that mean?
I'm Holly Laurent, playing Hallie Labonte, and Gray Haas was played by Greg Hess. Follow us and Mega the Podcast on Twitter and Instagram. And if you really want to get out of hell free card, support us on Patreon. The link is in the show notes.